title of the song was, or is, My God is Real. And the part I'm going to read says, there are some things I may not know, there are some places I cannot go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Yes, God is real, real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love to me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. So this morning and throughout the week, the Lord has impressed it upon my mind how real God is. And it's not just that I can feel him in my soul, it's that he has proven himself to me that he is real. This word real simply means not imaginary. And it also means true, and it means genuine. And the scripture comes to my mind that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And this word taste is not a literal tasting with my mouth. It is experiencing God, and in that, it's like a taste. I find him real because he is real, and he has proven himself to me over and over and over. And I believe with each one of us here this morning, we know God is real because of all of the things that he's done for us in our life, the answers to prayer, the helping us through the battles of life, and that's one of our burdens this morning. But we have to be acquainted with the Lord to be able to say, he is real. We were thinking about the disciples and how the disciples walked with him, talked with him. They touched him, the scripture says. They held him. He was flesh and blood, and yet they knew that he was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Son of God. And so after Jesus was resurrected, he manifested himself to his disciples, and they knew he was real. But one of the disciples only heard about it, and he said, I won't believe unless I touch him, unless I see him. And so Jesus came and manifested himself to Thomas. And he said to Thomas, he said, Thomas, come here and put your finger right here and put your hand in my side. And the response from Thomas was, my Lord and my God. But Jesus answered him and said something that was for you and me. And he said, blessed are those that have not seen, literally, and yet they believe. And so for you and me to know that God is real, it's going to have a mixture of faith to believe it. Because we're not going to see him face to face and touch him, such as Thomas did. But I wanted to say that everything concerning God, his word is real. The promises of God are real. And as we just said, we know that Jesus is real. But what about Jesus that we know is real? His blood. We know that his blood reaches to every generation. That fountain will not run dry, and it's real. And not everyone in the world is going to believe that his blood is real. the Holy Ghost is real. The keeping power of the Holy Ghost is real. The eternity is real. Heaven is real. It's in eternity. Hell is real. Eternal life is real. I want you to get in your mind of all of these things this morning that are real. They're not imaginary. It's not some fairy tale. It's real. The soul of man is real. The soul of man is going to live on for all eternity. That's real. One other thing that is real is life. This life is real. Job said in one place, he said that man was born, that is born of a woman. And it says just a few days and they're full of trouble. That's real. It's real for all people that are born on the face of the earth. There is no one that is born in this world and has it perfect all of the days of their life. So trouble and sorrow and tribulation and trials and tests and all of those things are real. And they are appointed unto us. They're part of the human life. And it's all real. So I want to say this, that you will not get to heaven without trouble and sorrow. That's just part of the Christian walk. The burdens and the cares and the tests and the trials and the battles and all of that is part of it. And the scripture indicates, it may not say it exactly like this, but it does indicate that God has a tried people. So if you're going to live for the Lord, if you hope to make heaven, then you have to expect some of these things in your life because he has a reason. He wants to work something in his life to prove his reality. So, having said all of that, 2 Chronicles, if you'll turn, 16th chapter, verse 9. This is what it says. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So we have given you the realities of life, the realities of God. It is real that he has the power to help you and me make heaven. But he wants to show himself strong. He delights in proving himself. I've said it to the young people here many times. And I have prayed for the young people, for the Lord to prove himself to their generation. We have generations that have gone on before us that have left their testimony of what God was able to do in their lives. And then we have our own generation where we have also tasted of him and found him to be good. We have experienced him. We know what he can do, how he answers prayer, how he gives us the victory. And so we want the next generation to have that same proving. He said in one place, "Prove me now and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So he invites you and me to prove him. At the same time, he's wanting to prove you and me. So he is looking to prove himself to you and me. 2 Peter 2 and 9. It says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation." An accompanying scripture is also Job 5 and 19. He says, "He will deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7. Well, I'm glad that the scripture doesn't mean exactly it literally, that I have only 7 times that I can prove him. But the word 7 means complete or whole. So that tells me that no matter how long I live, how many battles I fight, how many trials, how many tests, how many afflictions, all of those things are going to be met by his deliverance. May our faith take it in today. May we be encouraged. Now also in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it says, "No temptation hath been taken you, but what is common to man." Let me look here. I'm in 2 Corinthians, sorry. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. I know this is a quotable scripture, but I wanted to read it exactly as it is. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Thank the Lord. A powerful scripture. A wonderful scripture. One that we stand on. One that each one of us is no doubt quoted as we are maybe in the midst of a hard situation in our life, a difficult place, a place that we cannot see the end to it. And we go back to this scripture, don't you? Don't you even say, "The Lord promised that he wouldn't give me more than I could bear." But we need to go on in that passage and say, "But he will make a way." And that is what we want to speak to you about, is rather than saying a way, it's okay to say a way. But this week, the Lord brought this scripture to my mind as a result of a battle, if you will, that I was going through. And he began to bring back to my mind battles of the past, places of victory, places where he brought me out into a wealthy place. That's what the scripture says. He wants to bring us through. He wants to bring us out into a wealthy place, that the result of it will be a benefit to my soul, a strength to my life. The scripture speaks about you and me going from strength to strength. What that means to me is that as I gain this place, as I find this the way of escape, where I find I have gained that victory, that strengthens me, that makes me stronger in the power of his might, and then I head for the next battle. Oh, we may not think that at the time that we come out into a wealthy place. We may be dreading what the next battle is. But for a time, we are basking, if you will, in the victory. And then he takes us and he leads us on to the next place. To the next place where he wants to strengthen us. Where he wants to prove himself that he is real. and that the Word is real, and that His power is real, His grace is real. He wants to prove all of those things to us, see? So what we want to speak to you about is the way of escape. I thank the Lord that He has a way. And this week, as He was dealing with my heart, as He was bringing back to my mind battles of the past, as well as victories of the past, I had to see that each of those places, even though they were diverse, they were different, they were unique in that He had prepared for me a way that I could come out and be blessed. And this word victory, I looked that up. I thought, you know, we all know what victory is, but we don't go around really using that term as much as maybe we should or have done in the past. But victory is when we have surmounted our enemy, or when we have overcome the battle or the trial. So, as the Lord brought this all to my mind this week in my own situation, and what I was doing, I was praying and I was saying, Lord, prepare for me the way, the victory over this situation. He caused me to think about the children of Israel. In the Old Testament, it was so different how that you compare it to the New Testament says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That our battle is with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness and these things that you really can't see. We're not out battling with flesh and blood, such as they did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was a literal physical battle. And yet, there's some lessons that we can read that. Some people may read the Old Testament and think it's gruesome to hear of all of the many that were killed in battle and things such as that. But if you will look away from that and you will begin to see what the Lord had in mind for His people, He wanted to prove Himself. He was proving that He was real to the children of Israel. Oftentimes, they would have their battles and the Lord would say, you're not even going to have to fight in this battle. The battle is the Lord's. It's my battle. And He would give them instructions what to do. It would be such as, I want you to appoint singers. And I want you to go out and I want you to sing the praises. I want you to praise me. Now, most of us, if we were fighting or facing a literal enemy, we would say, surely that's not going to win the battle. And yet they would obey it. And they did it. And what happened? The Lord sent ambushments. He caused them, the enemy, to fight each other and kill each other. They didn't even have to lift up a weapon. It was a unique, it was different from what man would say is the way to fight a battle. Oh, we need to have the most men. And one time they had many men in their army. And the Lord said, no, this isn't the way I want you to fight this battle. I want you to send everybody home that is fearful.
And the majority of the people went home. And then he said, you still have too many. I want you to take them down and I want them to drink at the river. And the ones that drink just this way, I want you to send them home. And the ones that drink this other way, I want you to keep them. And it came down to a very few men to stand against a multitude of the enemy. This is how the Lord will fight our battles for us. It doesn't matter if it's a great number or if it's a few. He's able to give you and me the victory in what our battles are. If he can do it for the children of Israel, literally. One other time, he sent the hornets. They didn't even lift up a weapon. The hornets came and killed the enemy or chased them away. As I read about that, I understood from the Bible dictionary that the type of hornets that those were, that 20 bites on a man or an animal killed them. 20 stings. So this was the weapon that the Lord used to fight the battle for the children of Israel. Another one, which is familiar to us all, was simply a trumpet and a pitcher with a lamp inside or candle. And they won the battle. They never lifted up a weapon. They couldn't say, we won this battle in our own strength. And if you remember David, how did David fight Goliath? Only with a sling and a stone. Oh, I want to tell you, I think that we need to remember that the battle is the Lord's when we feel like we're in the battle. As I looked at the New Testament, and I thought about the apostles, how did they fight battles? They were put in prison. How did the Lord deliver? Was it conventionally? Did they get a lawyer? Did they defend themselves? No, the angel of the Lord came and opened the doors, and the chains fell off, and they were led out. Paul and Silas, it said that they were singing at midnight, and an earthquake came, and the chains fell off of all of the prisoners, and the doors were opened. God has his way to deliver his people. It's not always the same way. It will be the way of escape. It'll be unique to your battle, to my battle. It will work in every situation, but yet be different. In other words, he will not give the same scripture, the same song. He will not give the same inspiration. But after a while, it'll have the same result. Thank the Lord. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 4. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Have we used that when we're in the battle? We've already said, you know, we are not wrestling or fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against things that are not seen. When you're in a battle, nobody else may know you're in a battle. Only you and God, maybe. Maybe those that you're very closest to that you may share, you may call and you may say, I'm having a battle today. And yet it's very difficult sometimes to really explain your battle, to know how to express it. But it's a battle that is very real. It's real in your mind. It's real in your spirit. And the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. That's what it says. So we have weapons. We've got to understand our weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, because in the battle, it feels like a stronghold has taken hold of you. It's affecting the way that you think, affecting the way that you feel. It can affect the way you react. But the Lord has something for you. It is the way of escape. Over in Zechariah 4 and 6, it gives us some of the weapon. It says, not by might, nor by power, but by what? By my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So the many different battles and the many unique ways in which to fight those battles, it is not by our strength. It is through faith. It is by the word of God that is real. It is powerful. The word of God is powerful. We can stand on the word. It is by his spirit. So those are your weapons. Prayer is a weapon in your battle. Mixed with faith, with your ear tuned to the voice of the Lord. Many times, it is when I've been in prayer, in a battle, that the Spirit of the Lord will give me the victory or the way of escape. And it will be exactly what will work if I obey it, if I follow it. I have had many battles down through, and you have too. But look back at the memories. Remember your victories. Remember how the Lord brought you out and helped you to find that way of escape. How he helped you to bear that hard battle. I think one of the greatest victories that I've ever had was a number of years ago, but the Lord brought it back to my mind again this week. And I love to tell it, and I know I have told it here many times, but it happened many years ago. And there was a situation, as during the time we were taking care of Sister Velda, and that in itself was hard and difficult, watching her slowly die. But in the midst of all of that, the Lord allowed a deep hurt to come into my life. And I remember one night, we were having shifts at that time with Velda, and my shift was to be at about 2:00 in the morning, so I was supposed to be resting in the bedroom. But I was on the phone with Lauren and in tears, needing a victory. And he and I was on the phone praying most of my time I was supposed to be resting. And as time went on and Velda passed, I felt like that if I could just get past the funeral, I'll be okay. But I wasn't. I was still in this hard battle. As time went on, and the Lord was helping me, for the first time I saw the individuals that caused the hurt. And it was a voice that said, don't look their way. Don't even make eye contact. And I turned my head. But there was another voice. And that voice says, no, you go greet them. I did not feel like it, but I obeyed it. And as I stuck my hand out to greet them, the glory of the Lord filled me. And forgiveness was there, and love was there, and has been there ever since. Now, what if I'd have listened to the first voice and obeyed it? Where would I be today? I want to tell you, that was the way of escape, is to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. So whatever battles that you and I are facing or in, whatever, might not be in a battle at all right now. It may be down the road, a little bit in the future. Seek for that thing that will give you the victory. Look for it. Expect it. Because he said he would do it. Our God is real. His word is real. His power is real. His grace is real. His salvation is real. All of these things are real to the people of God who will claim it, who will be obedient to his word. I would like to say this, that you and I must not look, and I wrote this down, for fantastical deliverances. Have you ever thought of that? Just something it's just dumped on me. I'm going to tell you something. God's got a tried people, and he wants you and me to go through the trials and come out on the other side, lifting his name and saying, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. He's washed me. Maybe when I failed. Oh, I want to tell you, we do fail. We sometimes allow those hurt feelings to affect us. But he can come in and cleanse us and wash us and make us clean. And it's real. It's absolutely real. He will give you and me that perfect way of escape. That's the little thought we had on our heart this morning. And I hope that you will be able to get a hold of the fact that he has a special victory, a special way for you to gain the victory. Always remember, our God is real. And what he does for you and me is real. And it will be lasting. He will bring it back to your mind to encourage you for the next mountain that you have to climb. Remember how that over there in the Caleb said, when it came time for them to claim their ground, he says, I want that mountain. Give me that mountain right there. When you are in these places, you can say the same thing. You can say, Lord, I want this victory. I want you to make the way for me to escape and come through it. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.